Reading this morning comes from Ephesians. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh my, Sunday morning is always busy and I'm dragging myself. I mean, I'm not a morning person at all. But my mom said I need to go to church because I'm a pastor. God, I'm here, and even Mother's Day, there is a lunch outing and brunch outing, but I'm still here. I know that many mothers, you are here to celebrate your awesome day with amazing people. Before we go into it, let's recognize all the mothers in the world, especially in this sanctuary. Before I forget, I do not have enough caffeine in this morning, so I don't know what's going to be happening. Mothers, stand up. Let's recognize their service in our personal life. Thank you for being mothers. You know, without mother, the house will not be in order. And the church here is a mother. Well, I tried to be something funny, but it's not working here. That means I needed to move on to my scripted passage. All right, let me bring my frog back here. All right, now I'm comfy, and you know what? Every Sunday we are coming to church. The question is it necessary to come coming to church every Sunday? Okay, I guess you guys needed to have extra caffeine too. All right, why don't you introduce yourself, who you are? Make sure you know your name and why you are here this morning. All right?
I'm Reverend Elizabeth. And the question for me is necessary for what? Is it is going to church necessary? It depends on what you mean necessary. Go, teacher.
Okay. I'm Jill Redette.
There we go. Good. Is it necessary? I would say no. But is it absolutely very important? I would say yes, for several reasons. First of all, imagine going to a sporting event and being the only person in the stadium. It's much more fun and meaningful to cheer with others. And my faith, our faith, is exciting too. I need to share and worship with other believers. I also believe that God created us as social beings and intends for us to love and support one another. And what better way than to worship and pray together? One more thing. Going to church also provides an opportunity to invite others to get to know Christ by inviting them to worship with us. And I believe our faith grows as we share it with others.
I'm Marshall. I'm here because I love this place. No one needs to go to church. You don't even have to go to church to be a Christian. But I need to go to church.
Hi, I'm Marcus. Church is for reminding people how to live, to live how Jesus taught them to. So it's necessary if you want to live how Jesus taught you to go to church.
The only thing I would add is that I agree with everything that's been said. In 1972, I was sent overseas for a year away from my wife and two kids. I did not go to church for 52 straight weeks. In fact, I wasn't even surrounded by people who were believers in Jesus Christ. I prayed every week at least once, and I found that I kept my faith up without being near a church that year.
And I would say, you know, the question that has been alluded to here too, it's necessary for what? If I want to be fit, I go to a health club. If I want to be educated, I go to school.
Jesus, my God.
If I want to know Christian living,
What I was saying is that if I want to be fit, I go to a health club. If I want to be educated, I go to a school. If I want to know how to live as like a Christian, I go to church. And like you, Doug, I haven't always been faithful churchgoer, but church is home base. It's where I go back to time and time again to reconnect to my Christian identity.
Like a baseball game, going back to the home base to score, right?
Yeah.
Cubs game, am I talking about here? No? Well,
Indians, I think.
Not.
Definitely not.
Okay. All right, let me move on to the second question. Is it necessary to be part of a religious community, so-called joining its membership, in order to fully experience relationship with God? If yes, why? If not, why not?
Why don't we start down there?
I would start by saying that, personally, I tried not going to church at one point in my life. When I started coming to church here in 73, I went away at one point because I thought that I didn't need to go to church to be a Christian man. And I experimented with that, and I came back to this church because, for me, I was wrong. I needed to be here at this church. I needed to be energized by the people, by God and the pastor that are present in this building.
If you run around other people to share and practice your beliefs, it's kind of hard to experience God. So, yeah, it's necessary to be in a religious community.
I guess it's not necessary. I've met people who I've seen Jesus in. I met somebody this week, as a matter of fact, who doesn't belong to a church, but she definitely knows Jesus. But when I go to this church, there's so much going on here. We've got the kids over here, Ember Days. We've got ASP. I've got friends. I've got the Bible study on Monday night, ASP. There's just so many things I could go on and on. UMM, what a great ministry we have once a month. And it's just, in every one of these cases, we see Jesus and God. He's just yelling at us, telling us to come, and it doesn't stop.
I really agree with Marshall. It's not necessary to officially become a member, but for me, it is. It was. I think that when we officially join a community of believers, we make a commitment. Make a commitment to the ministry, to being here with our presence and our gifts and service and all of that. And I think when we make that commitment, we're more likely to follow through with it.
And, you know, church in the great Greek or Latin is ecclesia. It's the gathered people. And so community. It might not be a church building, but over my journey, I've been in church as a young person in high school, but when I went to college, I didn't belong to a church, but I had ecclesia. I had a Bible study on my floor that I went to. That was my community. Or later in life, in my neighborhood, as a mom living in Houston at first, I had a mother's prayer group. I was part of Moms in Touch. That was my ecclesia. That was my community where I felt fed until I could find a church home. So for me, no, it might not be actual membership in a particular church, but it's finding my membership, my ecclesia, my community, the gathered people from which, where I find my soul fed.
Well, what I'm hearing is that without joining the church, we can experience God. And yet, we are encouraging people, encouraging us to be part of it. It's almost like a dating relationship to the marriage life. And with that marriage, we can feel love, right? And how many people are in love in this morning? I am. Well, not many people. Oh, my goodness. It's a mother's spirit. We need to be in love. And we are in the loving church, and we are trying to promote the love in Christ in here. We need to be in love. But it's with the up in commitment, we still can feel the love. But it's joining the church. It's almost like getting into the marriage life. We are making a commitment, thick and thin. I'm going to stay in this relationship and build my relationship with God, build my relationship with others in this community. This is a commitment. And it is not necessary to join to experience God. You do not need to join the church. But it's, we are encouraging. It's part of the tradition of the church, the Methodist church. And the tradition we are honoring is the commitment with Christ and with others in the community. And again, you do not, and I do not need to join the church to experience God and experience the love of God. But through the commitment, we are making some determination in here, our lives, like a marriage life. Thinking about your personal life, in a love life, in a dating life, in getting into the marriage life. And we are living in the 21st century. We are not in the generations to make a commitment, but it's Christ made a commitment for us through Jesus Christ. So in response to that, we are making a commitment to ourselves in the love of Christ and in the love of a community. I think that that sums up to what I'm hearing. And let's move on to the number three question. What differences are there being spiritual from being religious? Is it all right to be spiritual without being religious?
Well, I think so. I think those things, I think Jesus came and was talking to those Sadducees and those Pharisees who were very religious people, but were missing the mark. And I think you can even be in a church and in a community and sometimes a religious community that's just missing the mark. And people can be spiritual. Not to be bringing in the news, but Osama bin Laden was a religious man and a spiritual man. I guess it's what you're rooted to and what you're grounded in. And I think we have to be discerning about those things. And your community is what helps you define and identify and discern what your spiritual core is and what your religious community is.
The words spiritual person and religious person are not the same for me. Spirituality doesn't necessarily mean belief in God as we know God. It might just mean an inner awareness of a force present in the universe, which may or may not be attributed to God, in my opinion. In my opinion, also, the word religious has come to have many connotations that are not always favorable. I think in its purest form, a religious person is a sincere believer. However, today, the word religious has, like I said, other connotations. It may imply being overly pious, it may be unaccepting of others, unwilling to listen because we, the religious people, have all the answers to the questions. We don't need to listen. So, I prefer to be known as a person of faith rather than a religious person.
Religion is a belief in God or a higher power. Being spiritual could be without God. We talked about Buddhism in our Monday night New Life Bible study. That's a plug. We talked about Buddhists, and Buddhists are spiritual. They're good people, but I don't think that they're religious. Spirituality is part of being religious to me.
I said that if you're Christian, you can't be one without the other. You can't express your faith without being filled by the Holy Spirit, which would be spiritual. Any other religion, or like Native Americans believed in spirits, but they didn't necessarily have one religion.
I can't add anything.
Wow. That's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. Not that you worship the choir, but as Marcus says, wow, isn't it amazing? It talks about the Methodism. Do you see the cross with a flame? It talks about the Holy Spirit. And we are more charismatic than charismatic church from the beginning. We are not just organization or denomination. It is a movement. But somehow we lost that contact, the spark. And the John Wesley, who is a founding father of the church, said that, strangely, my heart got warmed. That is the essence of the Methodism. Are we having a warming heart? Do you have a heart that warmed up through the worship service, through the participation? That is called the spirituality of the Methodism. And the religions, it is a kind of the organizational thing. Both are needed, but is that I think if we needed to pick one, we needed to have a strange warm heart so we can be bubbled up and created a movement. That's two cents of my thought into this question.
I agree with that. I agree with that too, but I don't get the worm thing. Sorry.
Carol, warmed him up.
Worm.
What?
Warm the brow.
Warm.
Okay. Carol. Oh my goodness. I thought you served the Korea before, and you understand the Korean accent, I heard. But I guess I misunderstood you, man.
But you're speaking Korean English.
Oh, my God. You're talking about Congolese in here, man. I guess our heart got warmed up with the love and a gesture in here. So we needed to talk about our essence of being church together here in our Redeemers. Question number 4. Our church name is Our Redeemers United Methodist Church. How did we get this name? How did we become a church? How did you end up here?
I'll go first.
All right.
In the first service, nobody up here knew exactly how we got our name, and unless somebody got some more information during the break. Okay, well, that's good. I'll let you talk about that. But I would like to add to this that I talked to Vaughn Evitz. It was interesting. She told me a story I'd never heard in 30-some years, that when the founders were at the barn and looking for a place for us to get situated, originally we were going to be where Schaumburg High School is. How many of you knew that? There's like 4 hands out there. And the village didn't want us to have this piece of land. And at some point in there, I don't have all the details of it, they changed their mind, probably because of development of the two areas, and decided that they wanted down there on Braintree, they wanted that piece, and they ended up giving us this piece of land. And Vaughn said she knew that from being on the committee that was part of figuring out where we're going to be, which I thought was interesting. I'd never heard that story before. And in terms of how I got here, Carolyn and I came here in 1973. We found this church. I guess God pointed us here, Carolyn and our 2 kids. We fell in love with it. Been coming here ever since. We originally fell in love with it because of the way that Reverend Wayne MacArthur spoke and talked to us in the pulpit. He was very passionate, and he had a great sense of humor.
Well, I don't know how we got the name. I think we got it from the people who founded it. And we were a barn at first, and we needed a place to have church services. And I got here because my parents brought me.
Well, the name, you know, Our Redeemers, it is Jesus' church, Our Redeemer. But that's all I know as far as that goes. But I do know why I'm here. I don't know, 15, 16 years or so ago, I was the scoutmaster at the Boy Scout troop here. Nobody in the troop or myself were involved with the church at all. And My family and I had jumped around to different churches early on, and I decided that I was going to visit this church off and on to see what it was like. And Reverend Ruth used to talk to me during his messages. He would ask me questions about the Boy Scouts. And I don't know. It stuck. He drew me in. And that's why I'm here.
Good. Well, I've been here for a very long time, about 35 years. When I first came here, I was getting divorced. And I was looking, I was looking for a church family and a place where I could sing. And I found them both, and much, much more than that. As far as the name goes, Our Redeemers, I believe redeemed means to be forgiven, to be saved by God's grace. What could be better? What could be better than Our Redeemers? However, I also learned during between services, Dr. Bruce came to me and he said, "You don't know how we got our name?" He said, "I do." Dr. Charles Jarvis, who was our district superintendent at the time, was the one who named this church. And I guess there was a little bit of contention about that because it was so near the name of our Saviors. But he said, "I want it to be Our Redeemers." And so that's how we got our name.
Well, I've only been here a year, being Reverend Buzz, but what I do know is churches pick names to give them an identity. And you drive down the street and you see St. Luke's after Luke, or St. Francis after, or St. Mary. And so when I was interviewing and coming to this church, I thought, Our Redeemers, what a great name. It says we realize that we're this people, this community, this ecclesia is claiming that we are recycled people. We are people who have been recycled and renewed by God. That is cool. I think that's really cool.
That's cool.
Cool.
What is the name of our church? Everybody knows? If you do, say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Our Redeemers, United Methodist Church.
Amen. Let's live up to our name. All right, because of the time, I'm wondering what question should I tackle in here? We just tackled the 4 questions and already ran out of time. All right, this is a burning question. I heard the number 6. And then a burning question I was to heard, what is a Pentecost? What difference does it make in our lives today?
Well, the Pentecost, which really I think should be a bigger deal than we treat it, is when the apostles came. It's 10 days after Easter, 50 days after the Passover. And the apostles came and all the people were meeting, and the apostles started talking to the people. People from all nations were there. And when the apostles started talking to them, everybody could understand what they were saying, even though they were all speaking different languages, all the languages. I think this means that anybody can understand God, and Jesus helped us to understand that. I think I had my own personal Pentecost. In 2004, on July 21st, I was at a table, an AA meeting table, and 5 other men told me their stories, and that was Jesus talking to me. And at that point, I understood, and that's what told me that I can take care of this problem with God's help, and I have been.
Amen. As far as what Pentecost is, it's actually the beginning of the church. This is when the Holy Spirit descended upon the people. This is when they were filled with the Spirit of God. This is the beginning of the church, and that does make a difference. It makes a difference in our lives because we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can have God, Jesus, living within us. So Pentecost is a very important time.
I would agree. Easter is number one holiday. It's our Super Bowl. And Pentecost is number two. Not Christmas, believe it or not. It's not Christmas. It's Pentecost. It's the pouring out of God's Spirit. It's that promise from John. I will give you an advocate. And there in Acts, we see God barfing his Spirit or pouring out his Spirit on all people. Yeah. It's a different visual. But pouring out God's Spirit. I just thought Dan would kind of like that visual. God's Spirit on all people, not just on prophets or priests or this tribe or these group. But again, it's that promise that we just talked about in the kids' sermon. You know, God pours out his Spirit on all of us, making us all the priesthood of all believers. Mm-hmm. That God is accessible to everybody. I think that's really good news.
Awesome. I actually didn't know what it was. So my dad told me that it was when the Holy Spirit came into the disciples and the difference is that we have church. That's it.
Again, I have nothing to add.
Well, as we are closing our part, and I think the Pentecost is not the miracle of tongue, but miracle of listening. Those church, those person who have a gift of listening are the churches. I am the church when I listen to the people. And you can be the church when you listen to the people and the God. And we as a church, so-called community of a faith, can be the true church when we start to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to each other instead of talking and talking and talking. So when we become a listening church, we can be the church. And also, I am encouraging all of us to be the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together, right? With the conviction, let us stand and let us sing the closing hymn together.